I next met with Dr. Erica Mayer from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston, and to begin, I asked her about a recent press release about the Phase 3 CATHERINE trial that stated that T-DM1 significantly improved invasive disease-free survival compared to trastuzumab in patients with localized HER2-positive breast cancer who had residual disease after neoadjuvant systemic treatment. The results of this study are due to be presented at the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium in December.
A little excited about it, but also with the typical caveats. When we see these press releases that say positive results, you never really know how positive are these results, what is the toxicity profile, what is it going to mean for our patients, what does it mean for ongoing trials. So I think that it's going to be really exciting to see this information. And, you know, whether or not it's going to have an impact on our practice, I think we have to wait and see.
So one of the things also I was wondering about is how many people on this trial got pertuzumab? I guess probably not, right?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what year the trial began, whether it predated the FDA approval of pertuzumab in the preoperative setting, which was, I believe, 2015. So it's possible there could be a mix.
And the other thing I was thinking about is, of course, you know, your group started the APT, you know, paclitaxel trastuzumab approach that now is, you know, so widely utilized. And I know you have a lot of experience with it. But am I correct in saying there's a APT versus T-DM1 trial adjuvantly?
There is. We've completed accrual to a trial called ATTEMPT that takes the same low-risk small tumor population, HER2-positive, randomizing to a year of T-DM1 versus what we can think of as the APT regimen of TH for 12 weeks followed by completion of a year of trastuzumab. And again, the trial's fully accrued, but we don't have any results from that yet.
Any projections on when there might be results?
It's tricky. I don't think we have timing to share right now, but given the CATHERINE results, it's going to be really interesting to see ATTEMPT readout.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And also in both trials, you know, somewhere in there is going to be the issue of pertuzumab. I don't know how people are going to process it. I'll tell you that we did a survey. We've done lots of surveys of investigators, and we've done as many as 30 breast cancer investigators at a time. And one of the things we asked recently on a survey was, what do you do when you have residual disease and HER2-positive neoadjuvant treatment? And most people are using pertuzumab and trastuzumab. Is that what you do?
Yeah, you know, my use of pertuzumab is selective in the post-preoperative setting. For a patient with essentially RCB0 or RCB1, meaning a path CR or a near path CR, we do know that that tends to predict an excellent outcome. And so in those patients, I am less inclined to add pertuzumab in that setting. But if someone has RCB2 or 3, meaning that they have a fair amount of residual disease, then I would think about adding it. Another caveat, though, is that we do know that pertuzumab can cause a fair amount of GI toxicity, in particular, some pretty bad diarrhea in a minority of patients. And if someone's really struggled with GI toxicity from pertuzumab, I'm a little less inclined to want to continue it after surgery.
But it will be interesting. And actually, in our surveys, we find that with significant residual disease, most people seem to use both pertuzumab and trastuzumab. But for path CR, it's like 50-50,
yeah,
which is really amazing, you know, like literally 50-50 from what we can see. So obviously, we don't have the data. But my point is that in a way, this CATHERINE trial is comparing it, but it's not bringing in pertuzumab. So you're going to have to indirectly kind of somehow, I don't know, factor that all in.